This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Lois Claussen. She is an artist and writer. She is a resident at the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she will be taking part in the SFAI 140 evening on Wednesday. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks so much.
So we are continuing in this theme of immigration and migration, which everybody who is at the Art Institute right now is looking at from one perspective or another. And you are looking at questions of migration through the perspective of, among other things, reading books.
That's right. Part of my task here is to develop a new project that's called Reading the Migration Library. And I'm hoping this project will kind of run for a while into the future and take place in a variety of different events. So in a sense, SFAI is giving me a chance to both develop it and also sort of pilot it with the other residents who are here and also perhaps with some community groups.
The goal is to go back home and get lots of people to read literature. Is that right?
That's a good goal. Maybe I'll take that up. So far, I'm not thinking quite that far in terms of the scale of it. But so far, I'm thinking about ways to engage people who might be part of community groups or schools or maybe art centers. And to stage some public events where people get a chance to read together.
Tell us more about the social aspect of reading.
Yeah, I've been thinking that this project responds to a crisis in reading, and I think most people right now are reflecting on why they're not reading or are finding new ways of reading or have stumbled into new habits that are distinctly different from maybe the way they were reading even 10 years ago.
What do you mean?
Well, I think screen-based reading, so the time that we spend attending to texts that are on, handheld devices or our laptops or screens at our workplace, that's taking up a lot of people's sort of capacity for reading. And what we're missing is reading long narratives, or in the form of a book maybe, but not necessarily. Just the time that it takes to really engage with a piece of literature that's, people have put a lot of, sometimes years into writing. And also, on a more technical side, also the kind of in-depth research, the longer form research texts or longer form editorials or longer magazine articles. People have made a switch in the kinds of texts that come up.
Shorter attention span.
I would guess that's part of it. That's what a lot of us talk about, right? Or a different kind of attention. I think a lot of people, or the people that I talk to, seem really discouraged by it. It's sort of no longer a fun diversion. And so I'm trying to capture this moment where people are kind of reflective on their own reading practices. And perhaps reading aloud in a group, or maybe not so much the commitment that's required to be part of a book club, but maybe more event-based reading, that might be a way to get people to talk about not just the content that we're reading, but also about their reading habits and to reflect on that publicly.
Now, the library you're putting together, because you're talking about a project called Reading the Migration Library, this is a library of work by and about immigration, migration?
That's right.
All by immigrants themselves?
Not necessarily, but there's some amazing novels that I think are really worth spending time reading, not just reading, but talking about. And as I've started to work on this, I've realized it's definitely not alone. If you go to a library's homepage, in the last year, a lot of libraries have put up lists of books about refugees, the refugee condition, or migration stories from the past, historic stories.
Lists upon lists that make you just feel like your life is too short because you want to read them all.
I kind of feel that way, yeah. I have a sister who's a school librarian, and she passed on a reading list that they have for elementary school kids, and there's a lot of sort of personal stories that are available for school kids. And I guess my project, although these are all available, I want to put a little more attention on them, and I want to put them into an art context.
How do you do that?
Well, my practice over the last 20 years has really focused on social projects, and in the art world we'd call that social art practice. And this is where artists kind of pay attention to how people are socializing and try to intervene a little bit in that or reflect on it in some way. As an artist, what I am looking for is kind of which groups or which sets of people are interested in these ideas and what happens when we get together and talk about them.
What has happened for you? Like, have you had any moments where people got together and talked about this kind of literature and something happened, like some understanding or insight or change took place in your heart or those of the people who are around you?
I've certainly had that experience where, especially when texts are read aloud and maybe people are taking turns reading, and this is a process that I'm definitely going to employ in this project. And so, you know, a text goes around the table and people read for maybe, you know, a few paragraphs or maybe longer if they feel like it. And what happens is people do listen more closely, but you also become aware of the different levels of comprehension that people have around the table, the different ways they attend to it. And often the text isn't finished, so it also gives people a sense that even in excerpts, there's ways of approaching the text where you get something different out of it, where something different than what you might perceive when you skim quickly on your own in privacy. And this idea of private reading came up, you know, in the late Middle Ages, early modern period, maybe, when books first were distributed to people. And so the original method of reading was to read aloud.
Right.
So I think when people read aloud, it's such an unusual situation, especially for adults, that there's really something unique that can happen.
When you and I were talking earlier in your studio here at the Santa Fe Art Institute, you said something that was very striking to me, which was that the new Prime Minister of Canada, Trudeau, was elected partly because of his empathy and sympathy toward and welcoming attitude toward migrants, particularly from Syria. And that is an attitude that I would so like to see here in the United States, where a pro-immigration stance would get you elected.
You have an astonished look on your face. there was an election in fall, and one of the promises was to enable over 20,000 Syrian refugees to come into Canada. And the opposition was incredulous. A lot of people were. And it didn't happen. The time frame was much too short logistically. But I think they've reached that number now. And yes, Canada, there's definitely a strong culture that's pro-immigration. And I'm not naive, and I don't want to circulate an idea that all Canadians feel that way, because the opposition did have a fairly good election. They formed a strong minority in that election. But yes, the tradition of migration is something that most Canadians can relate to. My own family, my grandparents immigrated from what was imperialist Russia in the 1920s, in the midst of the revolution. And many, many Canadians have stories of migration in at least their grandparents' generation. And many, many of my friends are first generation Canadians.
Lois Claussen is an artist and writer, a resident at the Santa Fe Art Institute. She will be speaking as part of Santa Fe Art Institute 140 on Wednesday. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.